It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, we'll take a look at why Wisconsinites are so good at volunteering and how you can get involved at an organization near you.
First, the print edition of the latest issue of Charlie Hebdo hit newsstands today. The satirical French magazine isn't normally the subject of a lot of American media attention, but after the mass shooting at the paper's Paris office last week that killed 12, all eyes are now on Charlie and where they go from here.
Well, the latest issue doesn't skip a beat. Its now famous cover features another controversial depiction of the Prophet Muhammad, which has news organizations facing a tough question. Should they reprint the cartoon? The New York Times decided not to, along with other news outlets. That's leading to a good deal of criticism. But how do news organizations make decisions like this on big ethical questions, and where's the line drawn between news value and content that could be offensive?
Here with us now to discuss these questions is Martha Steffens. She's a professor at the University of Missouri School of Journalism. Martha, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
So for those who haven't seen it, can you describe the latest Charlie Hebdo cover?
Well, it is a bright green, and there is the Prophet Muhammad on the cover, saying all is there's behind him. It says all is forgiven in French, and he's holding the sign "Je suis Charlie," so I am Charlie.
So the depiction
it's really not quite as offensive as some of his previous cartoons. So
right, but there's always the issue that for many Muslims, any depiction of
any
of the
depiction
prophet.
Of the prophet, right? Mm-hmm.
So before this came out, even news organizations here in the United States were wrangling with the question, you know, of what prior controversial Charlie Hebdo cartoons they could publish. Is this just extending that discussion a little further?
It is. Frankly, American publications always err on the side of caution. One of the things that we as Americans kind of embrace is the fact that we respect other cultures and that, you know, just like we don't do blackface, just like we don't do other things that might be disrespectful, particularly to minority groups, we err on the side of not doing certain kinds of things, particularly cartoons, which are characterizations that often exaggerate. So, American publications, you know, whether it be a gory photograph or other kinds of things that might not pass what we used to call the breakfast test, you know, could you face this in the morning? You know, we do err on the side of not publishing those things. And I'm a former newspaper editor, so I used to wrestle with these issues.
Now, the New York Times, their decision was to not publish this cover in particular and the previous cartoons. Their public editor said, you know, that may have been a bad call. There's news value. You're doing a disservice to readers by not printing it, by not letting them see what it is that the articles and everybody is talking about.
Well, it's not really difficult to find. News reports sort of showed it in the distance. I know on the BBC, which I've been watching here, I'm still in Europe. You could kind of see the cover. It's not difficult for anyone who wants to find the cover to be able to Google it. So the images are everywhere.
Well, on NPR's website, our colleagues at NPR, there's an image over an article that shows the cover, not quite. It shows the top half of the cover and obscures the rest of it. I, of course, went right down to the comments section, and a lot of people, NPR listeners, calling that decision cowardly. Is it cowardly for a media outlet to not run the image of this magazine cover?
Well, everybody has to understand their own audience, and every editorial decision must be made by the people who regularly deal with that audience. So if your supervisors, editors at NPR felt that it would offend some of your listeners and viewers, then, of course, they might decide to not publish that. But, again, it always is a very individualized, community-based decision, whether that community is large or small.
And New York Times, among others, cited safety concerns. If they publish these images, it could put, say, their foreign correspondents in the Middle East at risk, might make them targets of retaliation.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's particularly the case. It's clearly, I don't know if you had a chance to see the Danish newspaper editor who has lived under threats for years after their Danish publication published some cartoons of Muhammad years ago. You know, they decided not to run it, and they were particularly brave in years past. But they said, you know, for them, violence, you know, spoke a large message, and they didn't really feel that they should put themselves at risk.
Now, these are cartoons that if someone had submitted them to the New York Times, I don't want to keep picking on them, but any paper in the United States, any major paper, to their editorial page, they wouldn't have printed them, presumably.
Many of them were profane and kind of not the thing that we're used to in the United States. The United States seems to have a more subtle idea of parody. Europe likes to have much more biting satire. Americans are much more used more parody rather than really angry kinds of passionate messages, if you will. We're more into Saturday Night Live and the kind of gentle poking fun at institutions rather than, you know, the really sharp messages that you often will see in some other publications. Even in the Middle East, you'll see some very sharp cartoons and characterizations.
Now, I've seen some media outlets around the world making a point of running the most controversial cartoons and of showing the newest cover that we've been talking about as a way of showing solidarity with the satirists who died in that attack last week. Is that a common response, do you think, in the journalistic world?
I don't know that it's common. Kum Hurriyet, which is called the Republic in Turkey, did do that. They did create a four-page supplement that they were going to put in the latest editions of that newspaper based out of Istanbul. It's a nationwide newspaper in Turkey. It's the title is called the Republic in English, and it's a 90-year-old newspaper, so it's not a poke-in-your-eye kind of newspaper, and they were going to do that. And before they had a chance to publish, their offices were raided by Turkish officials who felt that that was going to be very offensive to the Muslim population there.
Do we have other precedents that inform this discussion, apart from the Danish cartoon that you talked about a few moments ago?
Well, certainly cartooning is a very strong practice in the Middle East among the Arab cultures. I edited a publication for the International Press Institute 2 years ago, which kind of looked at cartooning throughout the Middle East, but particularly in the Sinai Peninsula. And I know a lot of cartoonists, because of the way they like to poke fun at, or not poke fun, but make their point through these cartoons, really felt that they were being particularly brave by using this particular format to make their point. So, you know, I think you have to understand that cartooning in the United States just doesn't have quite the same political edge that it does in other parts of the world.
We're talking with Martha Steffens about the latest edition of Charlie Hebdo, the French satire weekly, the new cover, again, showing the Prophet Muhammad on it, and the decision by some media outlets here in the United States to run or to not run photos of that cover. And we'd like to hear what you think of all this.
Well, what do you think? Do you think news organizations should be publishing the controversial cover of Charlie Hebdo, which depicts a tearful Prophet Muhammad? Do we have a right to see it? Does it advance the journalistic cause, or are there overweighing ethical issues? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with journalism professor Martha Steffens about some of the ethical questions that American media outlets are grappling with when it comes to the new Charlie Hebdo cover. It shows another depiction of the Prophet Muhammad, not particularly offensive maybe to Western eyes, but offensive maybe to Muslims around the world. The decision to reprint it, to show a photo of it or not, and different media outlets are going different ways with their answers. What's your answer? What do you think? How should American media tackle this? Call now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to a caller. We've got Ray on the line in Milwaukee. Ray, hi.
Hi. I'm somebody who I consider myself to be left of the average left-winger here in America. But this whole controversy strikes me as rather just kind of stupid in a way. I, as a cartoonist, maybe would have no trouble drawing the cartoon and maybe risking my own life. But this cartoonist, you know, the place was firebombed a few years ago. So knowing the controversy, why keep poking the hornet's nest? And if it was a Nazi paper and they were Nazis that had been shot, I'm sure you wouldn't see this standing behind freedom of press. It's just, it happens to be because for whatever reason we have determined, Muslims are less than human beings, so let's just mock everything we can about them. And during this time of war, couldn't we just chill out on this, drawing the prophet? Is it that important to these cartoonists? Can't they get their ideas across in a more respectful way that doesn't also put the public at risk? I mean, this just seems insane. Why?
Ray, thanks a lot for the call. Martha is saying, in effect, just because we can publish these images, these cartoons, critical, mocking the prophet Muhammad, doesn't mean we should.
Well, certainly that's everybody's choice. And you know, if when I was a newspaper editor, and, you know, I would think, I would agree that certainly there are other ways to make your point. Criticize the action that an individual takes or a group takes, but don't kind of stereotype an entire religion. Or an entire, you know, way of life. And, you know, and that's, you know, perhaps some of the conversation here. So I certainly understand this listener's point.
But the attacks of last week, in a way, I think in many minds, have turned these images that a lot of people might have thought were a bad idea or not cared much about one way or the other into icons, representations of free speech rights. Do they deserve that elevation since the attacks last week?
Well, I think we need to look at a broader point. What they're saying is everybody has a right under particular countries' laws to say something, even though it might be offensive. And as long as it doesn't violate the hate speech laws in France, then, you know, they have the right to say it. And it certainly doesn't elevate it to the right to the point of killing someone just for saying something. And then, of course, you have the point of the believers who say that, you know, any depiction of their prophet, is a insult to them. So is an insult worth somebody's life? That's the question.
Ray, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Bill with us in Madison. Bill, hi.
Oh, hi. Well, I just wanted to say that I think this is really more a question of freedom of religion. And freedom of religion includes the right to be critical of other people's religion in any way that you might see fit. And I really think that's what the American Revolution was about. And I just really think it's an act of cowardice on the part of the New York Times and many others not to publish the cartoon.
Bill, thanks for the call. And Bill, echoing what a lot of people critical of the New York Times and other outlets have said, that this is cowardice. In a way, it's an act of surrender, giving into the intimidation of the attackers last week, Martha.
Well, I think you could look at it a couple of different ways. One is, did we found this nation based on respect to allow people to practice their own religions in the way they choose? Or did we found this country allowing people to criticize other religions? So it kind of depends on how you want to look at where we cross the line. And, of course, that is always what we're talking about in freedom of speech. You know, we are free to say and feel our ideas until it gets to the point where it foments hatred. And I think that's a great discussion to have. And, you know, I'm glad this listener called and once again kind of talks about that point of view. So that's what makes this a democracy, is that we are really airing kind of that edge where, we start to talk about our rights as it impinges upon other people's rights.
Having worked at newspapers, Martha, did you have these issues where you had to weigh the news value of an article or image versus the potential for causing offense to your readership?
Oh, all the time. I was editor during the time when there was the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and a lot of that testimony in the impeachment of President Clinton was pretty you know, pretty graphic and pretty dicey. And so, you know, you always are considering, you know, the average reader and the sensibility of your community and whether or not you want to have that on the front page. And so quite a lot of newspapers take the kind of step that the New York Times did, which is they you could actually, I believe how it worked was you could click on a link and see the cover. It just wasn't part of, it just wasn't printed in the newspaper, and it wasn't shown on their website. But you could certainly find it through a link. I don't know. I'm not here in the United States. I was in Paris at the time of the attacks with a group of students, and I'm still here in Europe now. So I didn't get to actually see the New York Times itself. But a lot of newspapers choose to take a cautioned approach. So you don't print the objectionable image on page one, but you might print it inside and inform readers that there might be a graphic image. So I think that you see a lot of people warn the public that, you know, and not surprise them with something that might be objectionable.
Go back to our callers now with Nick in Madison. Nick, hi.
Hello there. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just want to comment on something that the host has already kind of alluded to, but since the attack, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, freedom of speech and people rallying around that. And that's wonderful. But along with freedom of speech, I'm just a big believer, and you have to have some respect for what's actually coming out of your mouth and who you're poking fun at. And I hope that doesn't get lost in the rally behind freedom of speech, because you do have to always have an air of respect for, you know, your fellow citizen. And, you know, people that may disagree with you, you have to always put respect in that equation. So that's what I wanted to say.
Nick, thanks a lot for that call. I'm guessing a lot of people in the mainstream journalism world would agree with that point, Martha. But do different standards apply to satire? Should nothing be sacred to a satirical outlet like Charlie Hebdo?
I think that even a lot of the comedians find that sometimes, you know, they feel that they've crossed the line. You know, you see that everywhere when you have parody or satire, that sometimes, you know, it's not going to be well received, that it's too soon or too early or too raw or perhaps too pointed. So, yes, of course, comedy at times can cross the line.
Nick, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Mike now in Green Bay. Mike, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to give my vote of confidence to Charlie Hebdo for reprinting that. And I think the caller, Bill, was right about the American press being fearful. But I think they've been guilty of that for decades. I think that when you're going to start killing people over their opinion, you know, how offensive is a picture, really?
Mike, thanks a lot for the call and sharing your thoughts. Martha, in our last couple of minutes, you are there in Europe. You mentioned you were in Paris when the attacks happened, still in Europe. What kind of conversations are you seeing? What kind of reactions are you seeing when it comes to the media and these images in the satirical weekly?
Well, certainly a lot of other publications are not running them. You know, largely because there's been threats. I'm here in Belgium, and you know, there's been some issues here in Belgium. There's been some raids. There's been some concerns. In fact, one of the terror group members apparently bought their weapons here in Belgium. So, you know, Belgium's on high alert. A lot of the publications are here. One of the things that's difficult for Americans to understand is the Muslim community in Europe is quite large. It's about 10 to 15% of the population, which is far larger than in the United States. They're often are poor. They're discriminated against. So there's a lot of different layers to the Muslim relationship with, you know, with Europeans than in the United States. You know, there are some concerns. In fact, I'm here in Belgium, a country where there are several hundred Flemish young men who are originally Muslim
who are who gone to Syria to become freedom fighters. So there's a real fear here in Europe of what we call homegrown terrorists, which of course the Koichi brothers were in Paris. They were basically homegrown terrorists. And so I think that's a lot different than Americans might understand, that the fear is palpable.
Well, Martha, thanks for joining us and staying up late on European time.
Yes, thank you.
That was Martha Steffens. She is a professor at the University of Missouri School of Journalism.